today on Life Talk.
God much prefers mercy over judgment. Do you think that I like to see wicked people die, says the Sovereign Lord? Of course not. I want them to turn from their wicked ways and live.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, lifetalkradio.us. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Life Talk.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Life Talk. I'm Jeff Wickwire, and thank you for joining us. Today, we're continuing the series, Pray Through, where we're going to be studying the type of prayer least understood but most needed, and that is the prayer of intercession. You know, many Christians wrongly believe that intercessory prayer is only for those select, particularly spiritual people in the church, but not them. That couldn't be more wrong. In part two of today's message, we're going to talk about intercessory prayer being for all Christians and how we can enter into this crucial and powerful type of prayer. So let's go right to part two of the message, the prayer of intercession.
Author Samuel Chadwick wrote this about prayer. Listen to this. It's so powerful. He said, Satan dreads nothing but prayer. His one concern is to keep the saints from praying. He fears nothing. Catch this. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. He trembles when we pray. Prayer is the one thing that Satan will do anything to keep you from. Have you ever noticed when you decide to up your prayer life, suddenly every distraction in the world comes your way? The phone rings, something breaks, the kids go nuts, things happen. You get a flat tire, you lose your job. As soon as you decided to pray, it's like Satan put you in the crosshairs. Why? Because the last thing he wants is for you to pray. And let me tell you why. Because prayer releases the power of God onto your problem. It releases God's liberty into your bondage, his wisdom into your perplexity, his peace into your trouble, his guidance into your confusion, his healing into your hurt, his strength into your weakness, his power into your impossibility. When you pray, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, a righteous woman, a righteous person releases great power, dynamic in the way that it manifests itself and works. Prayer works. The prayer of intercession is the one we want to look at today. The prayer of intercession is for everybody who names the name of Christ. You know why? Because intercession literally means to approach the King. To approach the King. That's what it means. And it means to approach the King for an intervention. That's what it means. Intercession, I approach the King, covered in the blood of the Lamb, and I'm coming for an intervention. God, I need you to move. I'm asking you to move. You've got to move, and if you don't move, all is lost. It means to stand in between God and the object of his impending judgment. Now, the classic picture of intercession, the best one I know of in all the Bible, is the story of Abraham's intercession for Sodom and Gomorrah. There's not a better picture of intercession than this one. So let me just go over this story with you. You all know the story. God's impending judgment was hovering over Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says that here's Abraham one day, and him and Sarah are just having a normal day, going through life. They're, you know, they're living in their tent, and they're camped on the promised land. And all of a sudden, three men come walking into the camp. And immediately, Abraham discerns these men are not normal. These are not human beings. And the Bible says he discerned that they were angelic, that they were from heaven, that they were not flesh and blood. And the Bible says that he took them in and he fellowshiped with them and he talked with them, and they again said Sarah's going to have a child, and they brought some word to Abraham and his family. But the Bible says it came time for them to leave. And when they started to leave, it says in Genesis 18, 16, then the men got up from their meal and looked out toward Sodom. As they left, Abraham went with them to send them on their way. In verse 17, one of them that the Bible calls the Lord said, should I hide my plan from Abraham? Now what you've got here is you've got two angels and a Christophany. A Christophany is when Jesus Christ manifested himself on earth before he was born as a flesh and blood baby. You've got Jesus here because the Bible calls him the Lord. He appeared with them in the wilderness. The rock that followed them was Christ. Jesus appeared several times in the Old Testament, pre-incarnate. And this is one of them. And it says, he said, should I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? The reason we've really come here. Because there's a reason we came to this tent. And there's a reason I am now standing looking at Abraham. We're going to see that the reason was he wanted an intercessor. Judgment was looming. Abraham, the soon-to-be intercessor, lingered in God's presence to discern his will, to understand what the Lord was doing. It says as they began to leave, he followed them, he tracked them, and he stayed with the one that stood out from the other two. God tells Abraham, now here's Abraham, the other two guys, the other two men, the angels, are headed down towards Sodom. We remember that. Two of them walked into Sodom. The third one is here. Abraham is tarrying. He's looking at him. And this Lord tells Abraham, I've heard a great outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin is so flagrant. I'm going down to see if their actions are as wicked as I have heard. If not, I want to know. Now put yourself in Abraham's shoes. Abraham is instantly made to understand that Sodom is in the crosshairs of coming judgment. God shows it to him in a flash. Rushing in with this is the realization that his nephew Lot, who he had said goodbye to years before, and parted ways with years before, and his wife and his children and future in-laws are all down there in the city of doom. And God is telling his intercessor, I want you to pray. I want you to understand what's going on because Abraham, I know that you know me and I know that you'll know how to pray because you know me and you know that I want to have mercy and you know that I don't like judging people. You know my character. And so Abraham, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing so that you can pray and intercede. And here's what he does. Abraham, the intercessor, steps between God and Sodom. Here's God, here's Sodom. Here's the Lord looking right at him. He steps in between. The Bible says, look at this, it's powerful. Verse 22, then the men turned away from there. The two men, two of the angels that went to Sodom, and from there, and they went toward Sodom while Abraham was still standing before the Lord. Two of the three went off to Sodom. The Lord stood there. And it's so very important, so very crucial that we understand this word when it says before. He stood before the Lord. That means facing. He faced the Lord. He's not facing Sodom where all the trouble is. He's facing the Lord. He knows the answer is the Lord. He knows there's mercy in the Lord. He doesn't look at Sodom and say, oh man, you're toast. No, he turns to the Lord and faces him and stands in front of him and begins to talk to him and pray to him and intercede for the place called Sodom. He said, my hope is in him. The answer is in him. I know he answers prayer. I know prayer can change things. And so I'm going to pray. He positions himself in front of the Lord, facing him, which is perfect intercessory posture at its finest. Because we know, for instance, that God, listen, if God's not going to judge America, then I don't know this Bible. If America's not in trouble with God, I don't know this Bible. America has to be in the crosshairs of God's judgment. You say, well, Jeff, come on now. You're sounding like an Old Testament prophet. No, I'm sounding like a New Testament prophet. America's in trouble. We have forsaken God. What did Sodom do that we have not done? Oh, wow, this is a heavy word. I know. I have to speak out of my heart. I have to speak out of my heart. I can't get up here and tell you, well, God wants you rich. God wants you in a Cadillac. God, I'm not up here to give you a self-help message. We need to understand the ways of God. And the ways of God are, when a nation is facing judgment, God is on the hunt for intercessors. He's on the hunt. Here's Abraham. He's praying. Look at his boldness. And you got to think of that verse in Hebrews. Let us therefore come boldly. He's facing the Lord boldly. He's, oh, hang on, God. Wait a minute. He's facing him boldly. Let us therefore come boldly in the New Testament, us. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find the grace to help us in the hour of need. If one man who didn't have the blood of Jesus, who didn't have the word of God, Sodom had no Bible, Abraham had no Bible, but his prayers stopped or at least brought mercy into the context of judgment. If he could do that, where are we when the name of Jesus on our lips and the blood of Jesus covering our soul and the words of Jesus telling us, go to the Father in my name and he will answer you and he will do great and mighty things you have not yet known. All the encouragement we've got to pray. Make no mistake about it, when Abraham stood and faced him and stood between him and Sodom, it's exactly what God wanted him to do. Exactly what God wanted him to do. Abraham's not being presumptuous. He's not being cocky. He's not being arrogant. He's not being disrespectful at all. The Bible's already said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? What other reason would he say that unless he wanted Abraham to intercede? And he did. God always reveals coming judgment to his people that they might pray. Amos said, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. Well, you're his servant.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
Now here's Abraham. He stands in front of him. And what I like about this, there's a little bit of humor here. I can't get away from it. Because he's going to bargain God down. He stands in front of him. And he says, well, Lord, I'm going to ask you a question. Boy, this is boldness. Here's the Lord. He says, I'm going to ask you a question, Lord. He says, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Will not the judge of all the earth do right? I mean, knowing that this guy could go, bzzz, and you're gone. He says, will not the judge of all the earth do right? Now, it's not that God was having to be told to not do something wrong. What Abraham is doing is he's acknowledging his belief in the ultimate righteousness and goodness of God. It might have read this way. Lord, we both know that you won't judge the righteous with the wicked. Don't we, Lord? Absolutely, I won't judge the righteous with the wicked. Then Abraham begins the process of whittling him down, whittling down the number of righteous people God is willing to spare the entire city for. And he starts with 50. He says, what about 50? Will you spare the city for 50? And God says, for 50 righteous people, I will spare the city. And he goes, do I hear 45? How about 45? God says, I'll do it for 45. And he says, wow, I'm going to be bold. What about 30, Lord? Will you spare it for 30? God Almighty says, I'll spare the whole thing for 30 righteous. Abraham keeps going. He says, I'm on a roll. He says, all right, 20. What about 20? God says, 20. He ends with 10. He says, I can't go any lower than 10. He says, 10. What about 10? He says, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there? God says, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. Now, I want you to notice the grace and the favor God shows in answer to intercessory prayer. What we learn here is that God much prefers mercy over judgment. Amen. God says, listen to God in Ezekiel. God speaking through Ezekiel. Do you think that I like to see wicked people die? Says the sovereign Lord. Of course not. I want them to turn from their wicked ways and live. James says, mercy triumphs over judgment. So this intercession, intervention session ends with God's promise. He'll spare the whole city if he can find just 10 people who are walking in righteousness and have not been morally perverted and corrupted. Just 10. The whole city. There was not 10. And here's what I found. Archaeologists dug up Sodom and Gomorrah, or at least went to where it had been, and found a graveyard right next door to Sodom and Gomorrah. And in that graveyard, they found 500,000 graves. 500,000. You know what that means? Sodom was a large city. It was bustling. It was successful. It was materially rich. If you lived there, you would have felt like you had struck it rich, that you had struck gold. The pasture land was amazing. The income, the economy was thriving. But they had all been corrupted. We see in the chilling attack of the Sodomites against the two angels in Lot's house, it says, quote, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. All the men of that city, all the men. Some clearly fully homosexual, some bisexual, but all the men. The moral corruption of the city of Sodom had infected the young people, the teenagers, the old, and in between. It had reached the point where there was nothing left but judgment. And I'm just telling you what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. Their brazen boldness, banging on Lot's door, give these men to us. Lack of shame, no more conscience, no more blush. Reminds you of a nation you know about now? Testifies that their conscience had become totally seared. No wonder the cry of that place had reached the ear of God. And God came down to see what was there. And Lot knew what was there. He told those two men, don't sleep in the square. Don't sleep in the open square of this city. Come to my home. Amen. Don't get out there in the open. It's animalistic at night. You're not safe. Now, I want you to notice again the mercy of God, how it's manifested because of an intercessor. Watch this. God had agreed to 10 righteous beings, enough to spare the city from judgment. But 10 could not be found. If a graveyard had 500,000, let's just say the city had 500,000. Out of a 500,000, there were not 10. Not 10. The leaven of moral perversion had infected an entire society. And you think that's not happening in America right now? Why do we need intercessors? Because our entire culture is being infected. We need a move of God. Look at the mercy of God. When 10 could not be found, the two angels began to urge Lot. Look what they said to Lot. Do you have anybody else here? Sons-in-law, sons or daughters, anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here. Because we're going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great, he has sent us to destroy it. Now here we see that God is about to extend his mercy because he's a merciful God. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Where would we be without the mercies of the Lord? Lamentation says we would have all been consumed, but for the mercy of the Lord. Our God is a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's a God of love, and he's a prayer-answering God. And look what happened here. Because Abraham interceded and prayed, these angels turn to Lot, and they say, you've got a little bit of time. We are hours from judgment. Go get anybody you know, anybody in this city. I picture a terrified Lot running through the dark, sin-infested, dusky streets of Sodom. His heart is pounding. He bangs on the door of his first future son-in-law. Lot's daughters weren't in there. It just says the son-in-law was in there. They were betrothed, but they weren't married yet. The two girls were at home. This was future son-in-law. He runs to his house, and he says, "Hurry, get out of this place, for the Lord's about to destroy it." But the young man mocks him. The young man mocked him. It says he seemed to him like somebody who was joking. Then he runs to the second house, to the second future son-in-law, bangs on the door, says the same thing, and he's mocked again by his son-in-law. Two men mocking him. Judgment is moments away. Judgment is at the door. It's about to come, and his warning to get out is ignored. Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." What do you mean by that? Preachers are going to preach. Warners are going to warn. There's going to be a cry, the word of God going out to a backslidden, corrupted culture. And Jesus said, the way these young men treated Lot is the way many preachers will be treated, mocked. As the sun began inching up over the horizon, God's mercy is extended even further. The Bible says, as Lot tarried, that means he couldn't make up his mind. He couldn't make up his mind. I mean, you've got an angel here. You got an angel here. And he's saying, get out. And he tarries. Sodom has got him. The angel's trying to get him out of Sodom, but he can't get Sodom out of him. He tarries. And these two angels, by the mercy of God, because somebody interceded, grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city. And the Bible says, as soon as they broke through the border of that city, fire from heaven fell down and consumed that place. And it doesn't say that it was a comet. The Bible is very clear. It says God sent the fire. And Peter says he did this as an example to all future generations. Then when moral perversion sets into a culture, it begins to rot it from the inside out. That culture is in for judgment. Lot tarried, his wife tarried, his daughters tarried, and they couldn't bring themselves to get out. So the angels literally, this picture of the rapture really, the angels grabbed them and took them out. I have a question for you in closing. Had Abraham not interceded, would Lot and his family have been delivered? Would there have been a window of opportunity like this one if Abraham had not stood and faced God and said, "Come on, God, have mercy, have mercy"? And not only did God answer him, but God went beyond his answer, beyond his promise, and did even more and showed even more mercy. I don't have the answer to that question, but here's what I do know. Lot had, by his own poor decisions, rooted himself and his family in that wicked, godless city. He had had opportunity after opportunity to leave and didn't take it. The Bible says in Peter, he was vexed every day by what he heard and saw, but not vexed enough to get out. He was moved, but not changed. God heard Abraham's intercession and went beyond what Abraham had asked for. Now, you've got a man here, like I said, no Bible, no Jesus, no blood of the Lamb, no forgiveness by the blood of the Lamb, no born-again experience. And yet he prayed and God turned. What about you? Now, I hear your thought. Here's what some of you are thinking. But Jeff, that was Abraham, the father of our faith. I'm no Abraham. I don't have that kind of pull with God. But you do. You do. You do. Little old me, yeah, you. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. What do priests do? They worship and they intercede. Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater than these, because I go to my Father in heaven. All right, what works does Jesus do? It says in Hebrews, he always lives to intercede for you and me. So what's Jesus doing? He's interceding right now. He's giving your name. He's saying your name. He's praying for you that you make it. He's praying that you don't go down, but you go through. He's praying that your faith does not fail. He's praying that you win, that you fulfill your call, that you reach the finish tape at the end. He's praying for you. Now, if he's interceding, where does that leave us? He said, you're going to do what I do, and greater than that.
Thanks for listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111, or you can pick it up at our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's 877-884-3111, or the website, lifetalkradio.us. And while you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff on our Listen page. You can also sign up to get our e-devotionals, ministry updates, our exclusive Life Talk listener emails, and a whole lot more. We'll even send you a free gift just for signing up. And be sure to check out the resource page, as it's packed with so many things we know you'll be interested in. Again, the website is lifetalkradio.us, or call us at 877-884-3111. One last thing. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Life Talk is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift at the partner page on our website, lifetalkradio.us, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Life Talk.